Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and it's my stage name. I also perform not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking at all the body of the day, and I want to say to you, there are just right. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some reason,
you got lost people? Welcome, folks. Good afternoon. This is the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you to dare to dream and to keep thinking big. You will discover your purpose for life. You've tuned in to the right broadcast today. We have an exciting show for you, and our show today is the business of business. Now, listen. Don't you go anywhere. You put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. We have so many emails, tons of emails coming in, questions about business, questions about how can I get a job, questions about how can I make things work for me. And if you're one of those people, get your pens and pencils out today. Because we have tons of information, valuable information that you can use. And the other great part is we have another awesome guest. Our surprise guest today is Mr. LaDarren Spencer, who is CEO of HIM Recording, Record Recording Record Productions. He's a longtime friend and a successful businessman. And I just happened to catch him at the right time, and he's getting ready to go out on tour with his band. But hey, today he said, Mr. Motivator, I want to be your guest, and I want to bring something awesome that your guests can use. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome to our broadcast, Mr. LaDarren Spencer.
How are you doing today, Dwight? It's good to be on your program.
Hey, thank you. I'm happy to have you on the broadcast.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I know you invited me on to talk a little bit about business, but I want to follow your lead on this. I want to get an idea of what your thoughts are, maybe what your questions may be, and maybe we can entertain some questions from your listeners as well. So.
Oh, that's
great. Get things started.
Oh, awesome. Okay, folks. My technical people are telling me that we're having a little bit of a little bit of technical difficulty. So, can you hold on just for 1 second? My cameramen are going to make some adjustments, and we'll be right back. So, hold tight just for 1 second. Okay, folks, we're back. I'm sorry for that delay. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but our crew has straightened everything out. Okay, LaDarren, thank you for coming on our show today. And I'd like to ask you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in business and how long you've been involved, and just give us a little bit of background, and we'll move forward from there.
Well, Dwight, I started in business at a very young age, actually. I always think I had an entrepreneurial spirit, and as a young kid, I sought jobs in the neighborhood, and actually went to work at the age of about 8 years old with a little bit of an income. I think I made about a quarter a day, which at that time was pretty good for a little kid. Yeah. But it gave me a desire and a hunger for making my own way. And, the gentleman that I worked for at that short time was very influential in my life and gave me some direction and I think some purpose, too. So I was pretty excited about it because none of my other friends at that time were making their own money, so they could go out and buy the things that they wanted. So I was kind of a leader at that point, and so they looked up to me a little bit because I was making my own way. And we grew up poor, so my parents really couldn't give me a whole lot of things, but we lacked for nothing, and I was excited about the fact that I had a little money that I could make my own way through. And, from there, it just springboarded me to go to work for other people and continue, all the way through college working for someone else. So I tell people that at my retirement, I should have a pretty good, pay coming from Social Security because I've had, jobs since early on and been paying into the system for a very long time. So I think I'm entitled to some benefits here at some point along the way, but. In any event, I had lots of jobs through junior high school and through high school and on into college. Actually, when I went to college, I thought I'd live the American dream by going to college and not working. But I soon found that I just couldn't do that. I couldn't wait for somebody to send me some money when I was in college. And so I decided to go back to work after going to college. And I got another job because I liked the fact that I could make my own income and not depend on somebody else to give me money along the way. And I think all those things were influential in getting me to the point where I knew I had to do something to make my own money. And so I focused on doing that, been involved and curious about business my whole life, learned a lot along the way about how businesses work and what to do and what not to do from working for a lot of different companies. And I did the corporate thing for a little while after college and found out I really didn't like corporate America. It was it stifled me too much. It just kind of put me in a box and tried to keep me there. And I wasn't used to that. I really liked the freedom of being able to work for myself and make decisions for myself. And so that's what I kind of focused on. I was a good employee when I worked for them. Don't get me wrong there, because I believe you should always give 110% to whoever you commit to in a job situation, wherever it may be. So I was a good employee, worked hours that benefited the employer more probably than myself, but still giving that 100%. So I liked the fact that I could profit from, and I made the mistake of going to work for the company that took me at commission one time. And the thing I liked about working commission was I was not limited in the amount of income that I could create for myself. So I was pretty excited about that, and it certainly was a springboard into me getting to a point where I was ready to go into business for myself. So, that's kind of where my background comes from. I was a student in distributive education in high school, so I actually left school early to go to work, where other kids were staying in class up until the bell rung. I left school in my junior and senior year at about noon to go to work. Okay. And I was a part of the program through distributive education. And
yes.
It gave me a chance to learn about business, and they taught me things about business that I should be aware of. And so I just kind of gathered all that information and put it away, and it came to a point where I could use it again later on in life. So I think I was prepared when I got to that point where I could just say, hey, I want to do something on mine.
Okay. Also, and Darren, if I understand correctly, weren't you in the military? Did you serve in the armed forces for full time?
I did. I didn't go full time military, but I was in the reserve for a while in National Guard. I started off working for in the Army National Guard.
Okay.
Working as a military police officer, and I did that for 3 years, and it was a weekend thing while I was in college. In fact, it helped pay for some of my college being in reserve. And then I decided that I wanted to try the Air Force, so I switched over to the Air Force and found out that the Air Force really has a whole lot nicer than the Army does. Not to say either branch is bad, but I went from sleeping on the ground and working with the Army staying in the Holiday Inns and eating steaks on my weekend tours. So needless to say, I kind of prefer the Army or the Air Force Reserve to the National Guard, only because it gave me some perks that I didn't have as a young Army. But either branch is an awesome branch of our government, military, and I certainly endorse the Army. But yeah, that was my experience with the military. And I went into the military, met a lot of young guys. I went in when I was, I guess, in my 20s. A lot of kids actually go right out of high school in the military. So I had a leg up on them, and then I had some life experience that they hadn't had a chance to go through yet. So I was a platoon sergeant and really had a chance to kind of mentor them a little bit, let them know that even though the basic training was hard, it wasn't going to help. And after 6 weeks, they would actually be able to live again. But, you know, they were pretty concerned that 6 weeks going to be their entire career in the military, and they were about ready to fail. But I let them know that, no, this is just temporary, just like a lot of things in life are that you're going to experience. It's just temporary for a little while, a little discomfort, a little inconvenience. But once you get through it, then on the other side of that is reward. So I was able to help them along the way with that. And so, again, they kind of looked at me to guide them along the way. So it was kind of fun. I actually enjoyed that.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that with us, Darren. I know you're excited about going a little bit further into the ins and outs of business. And for those out there who just feel like they've lost their jobs, or they have a job that doesn't pay enough, or they've been out of work for a while and they're trying to get something going, and they're really fascinated with business, but they don't have the knowledge, the stamina, the motivation to dare themselves to walk into this arena. So I'm going to let you share with us some things about business, because you're one of the most successful business leaders here in the Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex arena, actually, and in Texas. And you and I go back a long ways, and I've seen you take businesses from the bottom and just work at that business till that business became successful. So if you would share with us what you have on your heart today about business.
Well, right, yeah, that's kind of my passion in life, I guess. I think I was designed to be in business in some form or fashion as an entrepreneur. And I really like business because it gives me an opportunity to show organizations to people and show them that they can do some things that they might otherwise maybe have thought they could not do. Mm-hmm. And, business is fun to me. When you look at business, I look at it, the title of this presentation is the business.
Yes.
I didn't coin that phrase. That phrase was actually coined by a fellow by the name of Friedman.
Uh-huh.
And what he coined was actually the business is business.
Yes.
And, I think that is so true, because so many people go into business with misconceptions about what they think business is, and they try to work their business like they work their lifestyles, and
yeah.
A lot of times that's just not a match. So what I tell them is, if you're going to come into business, your business has to be about business. You can't half-step and expect to have a successful business. So certainly you want to come in with an attitude about business that says that, okay, this has to be about serious work, where I'm going to generate an income for myself and for my family that will allow us to live the lifestyle that I want to live.
Okay.
And so when you look at business, first off, is defined by Webster's as a commercial or industrial enterprise,
mm-hmm.
and the people who constitute it. It's also the activity of providing goods and services involving financial and commercial and industrial aspects.
Mm-hmm.
The principal activity in your life that you do to earn money.
Yeah.
And so when you look at it from that aspect, you can't play around with it if you ever plan to have a successful, profitable business.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly you want to do that. Now, most business revolves around sales. So when we look at it from that aspect, you know you're going to be selling something. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to go into sales. I don't want to sell a product. Well, that's fine. But even if you're in a service type of business, it's about sales. And so when you look at it, sales, and I want to go back to Webster again, sales is defined as an income received from goods and services. An agreement or contract in which property is transferred from the seller to the buyer for a fixed price in money paid out by the buyer, agreed to by the seller to the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it from that aspect, you know, you have to be serious about who you are and what you're about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is about sales, whether you're selling a product, a service, or even an idea.
Yes.
Now, the way I like to look at sales, in particular, sales is kind of like creating a relationship with somebody you're interested in. As, as human beings, we relate in emotion and through perceptions about what it is that we desire as a human being.
Uh-huh.
So when you go at it from that point, when you're looking at a sale is basically has four steps to it.
Okay.
First off, is the attention.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the interest.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to have that desire and the conviction.
Mm-hmm.
I want to define conviction because a lot of times when I say conviction, people don't understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But conviction is just that point where you get to where you say, okay, I've got to have this.
Okay.
So when you're looking at it from a relationship kind of standpoint,
uh-huh.
first you're attracted to that person. That's that attention thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've all been there. We've seen somebody that we say, ooh, we just need to know that person.
Wow.
And that's that attention part of it.
Okay.
And then, of course, now that you your attention has been piqued, you've got to get their attention because they may not be on that same page you are at that point in the relationship. So once you have this attraction, you want to gain that attention from that other person. Now, once you've got their attention, now what you want to do is to create a desire in them for you. Now, you've already got the desire, obviously, because you've been pursuing that.
Okay.
And it's the same way with sales. You can find out there's a correlation between relationships and sales. So once you've got that interest, you ought to keep that desire in that other person that you want them to be on the same page with. You want them to desire you with what you should desire them.
Yeah.
But once you've been successful in doing that, then you go into the conviction part of it. That's where they say, okay, I desire you to desire me. So we just got to have this relationship. And that's what sales is.
Uh-huh.
It's a direct correlation between you creating an attention, creating an interest, creating a desire, and then creating that conviction that they okay, I want to have. And when you think about what the things that you have purchased for yourself, you went through that process. Whether you realized it or not, that was the process that you were going through.
Yeah.
So certainly you want to understand that concept. And when you understand that concept, you can go about creating a business for yourself because it's based on sales.
Uh-huh.
It's based on attention, desire, and conviction. And whether it's sale of a product, sale of a service, or the sale of an idea, those are the steps that you're going to take to get to the desired result, which is somebody giving you what you want.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, once you've gotten that understood, you have to understand that not everybody is prepared to go into business. And a lot of us say, well, I want a business, but have you done your due diligence to make sure that you are qualified or that you're prepared to pursue that business idea? And so what I try to teach people and help them understand is, it's great that you want to go into business, but let's look at what business you want to go into.
Okay.
And what steps you've taken to make sure that you have a successful business. When you think about it, life's experiences oftentimes will prepare us for our business. Whether you have something that you learned from working with parents or some experience that you picked up working for another employee. Because a lot of times businesses come out of the simple fact that you've got an experience from working on a particular job with someone else. You like what they did or the product they had. And somewhere along the line, you got the idea, you know, I'd be able to do this myself. I can sell this. I can create this. I have enough savvy about myself that if I'm selling a service, I can provide that service, you know, as my own boss. And so a lot of times that's where your experience comes from. So you want to utilize experience, life experiences that you have up to that point to come up with an idea of your own that you can pursue a business from. And there's all different types of business. And so there's no limit to what you can do as far as being a business for yourself. Now, understand that when you're going into business for yourself, you're going to be wearing all the hats of your business.
Okay.
Now, there's four basic functions of every business regarding what kind of business that you go into. First off, you've got finance and administration.
Okay.
Then you've got inventory and distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got research and training.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, I was getting lost in this somewhere. I always forget about this one, but first you've got finance, you've got inventory and distribution, research and training, and you've got... It'll be my notes here because I do get a loss along the way sometimes, but I'll use the catch-up real quick in a second here. And you've got finance administration, research and training, sales and marketing, and inventory and distribution.
That's it.
So once you can cover all those aspects as yourself, for yourself as an individual, then you're prepared to go into business. But understand you have to be able to address each one of those going into business. Otherwise, if any one of them falls short, you're going to fall short in your business.
I see.
For example, if you're going into business, if you don't have a good background in finance and you're starting off a business, well, if you don't keep good books, somewhere along the way you're going to get stuck. There are requirements in business that to assure that you are in compliance with federal regulations, with state regulations, with state documents, and all those things are important to you in your business. So you want to make sure that you understand how to make all that work.
Okay.
First, now, and also you're going to have some income coming.
Okay.
So you want to be able to deal with that income in a fashion that will allow you to maintain your business financially so that you're not in debt from going into business.
Mm, I like this. What's this? So that you don't be in debt.
Absolutely. Because so many businesses fail for that one reason. They don't come in with enough understanding about finances to maintain their business to the point where they can account for the income and the expenses. So once you have a handle on that, you're prepared to go on business and chances are you'll learn enough along the way to keep up with the record keeping and the documents that you find. Another aspect of business and the bookkeeping and the financing part is you have to make sure that you stay in good graces with the Internal Revenue Service.
Okay.
Now, one of my life experiences is that I worked for the Internal Revenue Service for a while as a revenue agent.
Now, I didn't know you worked for the Internal Revenue Service.
I did, absolutely. And, what I did working for the Internal Revenue Service as a revenue agent was I had an opportunity to visit with entrepreneurs and businesses with the concerns from the IRS about why their books were not up to date, why their taxes were not up to date. So starting a business, make sure that number one on your list is that you take care of your obligations to the Trump administration, whether it be filing a return or paying a tax, that should be first and paramount in your business, because if you don't take care of that with the IRS, the IRS will take care of you.
Y'all hear that, folks?
So make sure that you understand that, and if you do nothing else, get an understanding about your requirements for the IRS and also your requirements for the state that you live in. The state has its own set of rules about what they expect you as an individual doing business in that state. So make sure those things are taken care of. So that takes care of the finance and administration part of it. Then, of course, you've got research and training. Well, that comes from life experience a lot of times. But going into business, you want to make sure that you do some research.
Yeah,
you don't want to be going into business and put yourself in an industry where you don't have an opportunity to make money. For example, if you live in Alaska, chances are opening up an ice business is not going to be profitable for you.
That's right.
Right? Because ice is terrible in Alaska. You got ice in the brawl. You just pour some water in the pot, put it outside, and you will have ice. So that would probably not be a good business for you to go into.
Yeah.
So consider your demographics, where you are, what
two types of market,
uh-huh.
and make sure that there is a market for whatever it is that you have to market.
Okay.
So that comes in the research and training. Now, the training part of it says that once you decide to go into business, do you have enough experience in this business to pull it off?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going into real estate, you might want to have a real estate background. You might want to know something about real estate that will assure that if you open your business, you have every opportunity to succeed.
Okay.
So if you're going into real estate and you have no real estate background, chances are you're not going to be very successful in real estate.
Yes.
Because you don't want to spend your time learning the business after you launch your own business. Because
right.
you will go broke doing it. You will starve fast doing it. So
okay.
come in with the experience in whatever business adventure that you're trying to go into. So if your background, for example, if you've gone through school and gone through life and your family, for example, was in the hardware business, well, you might know a little bit about hardware.
Right.
So your focus may be on trying to come up with an idea or a business idea that allows you to utilize your knowledge of hardware. Well, take advantage of what you know and open a hardware business. You then can glean on what you have learned so far, but you also have a reference point or you have a point to go back to because your family was in the hardware business. They can probably give you tips along the way about hardware. Some things that you might not have been aware of or something that you might have missed along the way, they may be able to step in and help you, fill that or take care of that gap you have in your business. So understand your research and training part of it because it's important.
Well, one quick question. So what about the Get Rich Overnight real estate course that was also on commercial? What did you think about the folks that jump into business and they're expecting to get rich because they ordered the course?
That falls under the category of research and training.
Okay.
Do your homework.
Yes.
You know, find out what the success stories are of people who have gone through those courses.
Okay.
If you contact, 50 people and they say they didn't have any success with the information they gleaned from the seminar, you might want to consider doing something different.
Okay.
It's okay to pursue that real estate thing, but that course that was offered to get you that get rich that you were hoping for might not be the course that's going to get you there. You might have to do some other research, some other training to get you to that point where you need to be successful in real estate.
Okay. Thank you. Very, very, very well
out. All right. Now, the next aspect of business that you want to address is the sales and marketing.
Okay.
Now, once you determine what it is that you want to pursue and sell, whether it be a product or an idea, you want to make sure, again, that there is a market for it.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to do some demographic work to make sure that there is a big enough market that you can take care of what it is that you're selling to create enough income for yourself.
Yeah.
Now, in doing your demographics, you want to make sure that there are enough people or enough eyeballs or enough whatever it may be that's going to generate enough business for you to be competitive. Because chances are, whatever it is that you're selling, somebody else is probably out there selling as well. So you want to make sure that there's a big enough market that all of you can still make money together, but a big enough market that your competition is not trying to knock you off because you're taking care of it.
Yeah,
you want to go into it with an understanding that there's enough for everybody to go around. And as long as everybody is on the same page that there's enough business, whatever it is that you're selling out there to go around, you don't have to be too concerned about your competition because they're going to be busy doing what they do. And as long as you're focused on what it is that you're doing to create that business volume for yourself, then nobody's going to be concerned about what the other guys do. And when you look at big corporations, a lot of times you'll see that same type business will put themselves in the same proximity to each other. It's not uncommon for you to go into an intersection and see a Walgreens on one corner and a CVS on the other corner.
Uh-huh.
Well, you would think that they'd have the idea, well, I don't want to be that close to my competition. But that's the wrong thinking that a lot of people have because even though you're on the same block in the same proximity to each other, not everybody likes Walgreens.
That's right.
Not everybody likes people.
Yeah.
But enough people like them individually that they can create enough business for themselves. Not to mention the fact that if you go to one place and they don't have what you want, you don't have to go far.
That's right.
To the next place. That's right. They might have some of life quality and quantity. So, not to mention the fact that they have already done the demographic work.
Okay.
Now, a good train of thought is that you might want to position yourself somewhere close to a service or a company that has already done a lot of work, particularly if you're selling a product.
Yes.
Because the big corporations do a lot of work in demographics. They figure out exactly where it is that they should be, that they want to put their business, that will attract the most business for their company. So, for example, if you're going into the hardware business, and there's a one of those big chain hardware stores within a couple blocks of you, don't shy away from the fact that they're there. In fact, that might be to your benefit that they are there, because a lot of us don't like to go into those big mega stores
to get
their hardware. But if you're right across the street and you've got a little benefit, or a little store that they can walk in, get what they want quickly, and get out of there, you'll get that traffic from them that they might miss out on with the fact that they are as huge as they are.
Yes.
So the thought process about sales and marketing takes some thought and it takes some research to come up with the best location for you, or the best product for you to market, or the best way for you to market your service product.
Okay.
Now, the other part of the last part of that, of course, is inventory and distribution.
Yes.
And a lot of that, all this kind of ties in together, because if you're going to have an inventory to sell, the first thing you've got to address is your finance administration. How are you going to purchase that inventory that you need to make that money?
Yes.
So, again, the whole package deal says that you can address all phases of the business that you're going into. And the one thing that I will tell everybody starting a business to do is to come in with a written business plan.
A written business plan. Y'all hear that, folks?
Absolutely have a written business plan. Otherwise, you're going to be floundering trying to figure out how to make this thing work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had put enough thought into it coming in, you would already have that figured out. Now, you're not going to get everything. You're not going to cover every possible scenario that your business is going to go through when you do your business plan, but at least you have a plan.
Now, for some of the people who may not really be familiar with the business plan, could you tell them a little bit about what should they include in their business plan if they want to make it work?
Right, I'm glad you asked that question.
Okay.
I just happen to have the answer.
Oh, wow.
This is Webster's Dictionary of a Business Plan. I think it's a good start for you.
Okay.
Because a business plan is a formal statement or a set of business goals, the reasons that are believed attainable, and the plan for reaching those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And it may also contain background information about the organization or team attempting to reach those goals. Now, business plans are decision-making tools. Now, there is no fixed content for a business plan. Rather, the content and the format of the business plan is determined by the goals and the audience. Now, a business plan represents an aspect of business planning process, declaring vision and strategy alongside sub-plans to cover marketing, finance, operations, human resources, as well as legal plans when required. Now, a business plan is a summary of those disciplinary plans, all in written format. So in a nutshell, what a written plan is, it's a roadmap to you putting your business together.
Wow, it's a roadmap.
It's a roadmap. And if you understand anything about a roadmap, it's a diagram of you to get from point A to point B. Now, if it's a big enough roadmap, if you get off course along the way, you can look at that map and find a direction that will take you back to the point that will get you back on the road that you want to be in.
Yeah.
So a written business plan is your roadmap to success. So with it, you have a good, much better opportunity of succeeding, whereas if you did not have a roadmap, you'd be out there floundering trying to figure out what's going on. So paramount, first thing you want to do is draw your map for your business that will take you from point A to the point where you're trying to end up. And look at it. Since we're talking about business, your roadmap should be a roadmap to successful business that creates lots of income for you and your family. Now, that's what I would suggest is the first thing you do in getting your business plan together. have your business plan, you have to consider what kind of business that you want to pursue.
Yeah.
And there's basically six types of business. And businesses that are all based on, you know, what the IRS looks at or how they perceive your business to be. And so all these business types are businesses that the IRS will recognize as a legitimate business. First off, you've got a sole proprietorship.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, you have a corporation.
Yes.
Thirdly, you have a partnership. Fourthly, there's an S-corporation. Then you have a trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a non-profit type of business. All these type businesses are businesses, as I said, that are recognized by the Internal Revenue Service as a legitimate business. Now, I bring up the IRS because it's important to understand that your business, if you're going to have an income, count as your income when you're looking at it from the eyes of the IRS.
Yeah.
So they will be looking at your business to determine how you're generating your income and what that income means as in the form of tax, because all your income is tax regardless.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Right.
Well, thank you. I've never had anyone to go into detail like that about a business plan before, so thank you very much. Now, also, people tune into my website, my blog, which is DwightJeffrey.blogspot.com. And I usually post my shows, or I'm doing comedy, or my books, and my books and my tours. But also, I like to post some of the Mr. Motivator's favorite places to go and things to do. But on my website, we have Mr. Motivator's favorite jazz musician, or favorite jazz artist. And I don't know if you all know this, but LaDarian manages the beautiful, talented, lovely George Spencer, and her music is just awesome. And you've been so gracious to explain to our audience about the aspect of business. I just wanted to give you the opportunity to share a little bit about your wife's music and why you all are so well-received in different places around the world, and why is it everybody seems to love George's music. And if you could tell us a little bit about what you guys have going on, and maybe give everyone else the website so they can order some of her music and everything. So I want you to take a brief second about that, and then we can finish up with this.
All right, John. I appreciate you giving the chance to talk about it. I'm very excited about my wife and her music. When I met my wife, I met her, and she at that time was just coming out of college, so she was excited about music. Her degree was music education. And I guess I'm kind of responsible for taking her out of that because I asked her to marry me instead. And so we went about raising a family, and she kind of put her music down for 20 years.
Wow.
And in that time, we built business together, and she worked in the background and kept working. In fact, when I started our first business, so that we would have enough income to keep things going, until the point that we had enough income that I could bring her home. So, in a nutshell, she helped us get our business off the ground. So it's her turn now.
Yeah.
So we launched her business career with preconceived ideas of what we thought the music industry was. And so we started out playing again in church more or less. And from that, build her chops back up because she's been away from it for a little while. But it turned out she didn't lose a whole lot of weight along the way. And we were excited about the fact she still had, her sound and her talent. And she could find all the notes still. I still understand that, but she was able to do all of that.
Yeah.
And so we got out into the business world to see what was going on in the music industry. And what we found was that there were a lot of people out there kind of floundering around trying to figure out what to do with the business music industry. basically was that the music industry isn't what it used to be. It used to be a record company would sign on an artist and pay them all this wonderful money and give them all these perks and all. But what we found is that those kind of deals were few and far between.
Yeah.
And a lot of the artists that did sign on with those companies were ending up broke.
Wow.
So we certainly didn't want to go that route.
Yeah,
so what we did was we used our business background, our business knowledge to go into this business industry from a business standpoint as opposed to just from the music side of it.
Yeah.
And what we have found and what we've done along the way is created a business path for Joyce's music career that allows us to use our business knowledge to set up deals and work in getting her to perform in places that otherwise she might not have gotten into from the simple fact that we went at it from a business point of view. And we decided along the way we weren't going to tolerate mediocrity from the places that mistreated musicians, that didn't pay them for their gifts and talents. And that's been our attitude. And what we're doing along the way is enlightening some people, I think, to the fact that they don't have to step. They are gifted and talented.
Mm-hmm.
They have put in the work to get themselves to the point that they can present a musical quality that not everybody can present. And that has value, and we're using that to our advantage because there's no reason for us not to. So we just go on from there.
Well, you know, you hit something when you said music quality. The first time my wife and I came out to Joyce performed, man, and we heard her, and I've always been a big fan of Kenny G. And when I heard Joyce playing and her singing, we just fell in love with her music, and her singing is awesome too. And we bought Sweet Dreams, and man, it was so good. We had to buy at least several additional copies for all our family members. So how did Sweet Dreams come about, and do you all is she working on another new album? So give us some feedback on that.
Yeah, Joanne, Sweet Dreams was our first CD, I guess. It was our first official release of her music to the masses. So what we were pretty excited about it. It was our first venture. It was a learning process for us too.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier about learning your craft along the way, and then in that research and training portion of the business aspect.
Yeah.
Well, we're still doing that. But we were our first clients in our business, which we created, was called Imp Records.
Uh-huh.
It's a company that we thought about or dreamed up that said, well, we're going to create a business that will allow musicians to learn the craft and to put themselves out there without the risk of somebody taking advantage of them. So we created this company, and we're still in the learning process. But we're not ready to take on any new clients yet. But Joyce was our first client, and we're packaging this so that when we do launch Imp Records, we will know enough about the music business that we can take an artist from the point that they're raw and in a hungry stage to the point that they're being successfully marketed as the musician. So we're excited about that, but Sweet Dreams was our first project, and it's really done well. We're so excited about it. The music that was created for that CD is absolutely anointed, and I say anointed because we wanted to be a blessing in the music industry.
Yeah.
And my wife's music is her ministry.
Okay.
And so that music ministers to people in ways that they don't even realize.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that don't realize it, well, like there's something different about you. Something that makes me feel a little different when I hear your music. And it's simply the fact that we put God first in her music, and it is anointed, and we're moving forward with it. We, with every anticipation that God is going to bless it and bless the other ventures. And go ahead.
And what does HIM stand for?
Yeah, the HIM record stands for Heavily Inspired Music Record Promotion.
Wow.
So we put God in it right away.
Yeah.
And even in the name of our business. And so he comes first in everything that we're doing. And,
mm-hmm.
and from that, our goal is to catapult this business to a point where we can help many people along the way.
Yes.
And, the learning process that we're in with the Sweet Dreams project is positioning us to do a lot of that. give you the direct website. Okay. Sweet Dreams is Joy Spencer's Music. That's exactly the website. It's joyspencermusic.com. We made it real easy.
Joyspencermusic.com. Okay.
And that's the easy way to find it. Once you're on her website, if you want to look more at the company aspect of it, there's a link on her website that'll take you to Kim Rickett Promotion. And you can, you know, read a little bit more about who we are and what we're about going to that website. But you can find it first at joyspencermusic.com. Again, that's joyspencermusic.com.
Hey, you, everybody that's tuned in, to, everyone who's tuned in to the show today, you got to, you have to get your copy of Joy Spencer's CD, Sweet Dreams. I tell you, every time I hear it, it gets me so excited and exuberated. I think it's the best jazz CD out here. And folks, Mr. Motivator will not take
it. Well, I'm a little biased, Dwight, but I have to agree with you. It's absolutely a wonderful CD,
yeah.
And it should be in everybody's collection. And you know, we are really just can't tell you how much we appreciate you allowing us to come on your show and share this information. The business of business is,
mm-hmm.
should be there regardless
yeah.
of what business that you go into.
Okay.
We just happen to be in several different types of business personally for the simple fact that we like diversity. We want to make sure that we don't have all our eggs in one basket and that we like multiple streams of income. And as an entrepreneur, you will come to appreciate multiple streams of income because the fact of the matter is that if you do it one time, there's no reason why you can't do it or even recreate yourself in other business ventures. And, you know, don't be afraid to show others along the way and even partner with them along the way. Share the wealth of your knowledge with other people. As you see success in your business, share that with others who are coming up behind you. Let's not have that crawfish mentality that exists
yeah.
so much in our culture.
Yeah.
You know, let's turn that around. Instead of, you know, reaching out to pull the other one down, let them reach back and pull you up with them as they go along. But don't close those doors that are open to you. Hold it open for the next one coming behind you. Let's show them how to do that along the way. And with that attitude, we can create more success, more profit for ourselves
yeah.
than trying to do it alone.
Okay. So you're saying that we shouldn't take the selfish road. So do you think that a lot of people today, the reason why most of them aren't as successful as they could be is because they don't want to take the opportunity to help someone else or to plant a few seeds?
I have to believe that's the case, Dwight, because I don't believe we were put on this earth to be selfish in the beginning.
Yes.
You know, Jesus taught us to share. He taught us to utilize our gifts and talent
that's why
to help other people along the way. So,
yeah.
So if you're successful in business, there's no reason why you can't reach back and share that knowledge with somebody that's coming behind you who might be pursuing or walking the same road. You know, as we travel this road of life, you know, it's nice to have somebody that you can walk with along the way. It's nice to be able to tip your hat to somebody who is on that same path with you. And walk a little bit with them. You might find along the way that you might need a helping hand. It's just like jumping on the roadway in your vehicle. You might break down along the way, and you're just hoping and praying that somebody else will come along that will at least, you know, help you get to the next point where you can come back and pick up where you left off.
Okay.
I absolutely want to do that.
Some of my staff members here at the Mr. Motivation Show, they love George's music, too. And one of the, our producers wanted me to ask you, they have some relatives in Chile. And they want to know, do you think somewhere in the near future that George may do some concerts or she may go into some other countries?
Well, there are things in the works. I won't just give all the information out right now, but there are things happening in the music career of Joy Spencer that's going to take her outside the box. And when I say outside the box, I mean locally we're fine and we're doing okay, but that's not where the success is going to come from in the music industry. And so for those artists out there, those independent independent artist out there, if you're satisfied or think you're satisfied in working the local scene and it gives you a part-time income and that's what you're satisfied with, that's fine. But if your dream is bigger than that, if you have a bigger dream of touching more people and doing more, you're going to have to get out of the box. You're going to have to leave where you are. You're going to have to expand your territory. And to expand your territory means you're going to have to reach out to those who are not local to you, but are elsewhere who will invite you to come out and be with them. But we've got some plans for Joyce Spencer. There's the potential of some tours coming up. And we're excited about the relationship that we're building with the people that can actually take us out of where we are and put us in on a bigger scene.
Yeah.
And those things are in the works. And once they're solidified, trust us, you will see plenty of marketing about where we're going and what we're doing, because marketing is key in any business. And you'll find us on all of the social networks. You can find Joyce Spencer on Facebook. Go look her up and friend her. She has no. There's plenty of room for more friends on Facebook.
Now, what about on Twitter?
On Twitter, you can connect to her directly from her website or just look for her on those social networks. We have been doing a lot of marketing, so it's very easy to find us. If you put Joyce Spencer in Google, you'll find pages and pages of Joyce Spencer with her bios, her videos, and all the information out there. You'll also find Him Records out there because we're creating that brand name to help other artists along the way. When we're ready to do that, we're not quite there yet. So when we're ready, we will find you. Trust me, if you are successful in developing your point to the point where we might see you along the way, we might give you a call and say, hey, we'd like to help you along the way in whatever it is that you're doing. So the music industry is a wonderful place, but it's also a scary place because there's people out there who are looking to take advantage of you and your gifts. So just be conscious of that and do your due diligence. Check everything out, check everybody out, and make sure you best position yourself to maximize your talent along the way.
Okay, one other question I'd like to ask you, Darren. What role does faith play in launching a business?
Well, without it, you might as well stay home. Because if you don't have faith in who you are and what you're about, you just have nowhere to go. If you don't have the confidence in who you are, the confidence in the fact that you have the ability to move forward, you just can't go and slip. Faith is the substance of things that's not yet seen. So if you can't envision or see your business successful down the road, then you're not going anywhere. Because, again, if you create that roadmap and you can only see the starting point but you can't see the end or you can't visualize the end, you're stuck. You're going to stay in that one spot. But if faith says that you can draw that starting point and draw the finish line, you've already expressed your faith because you can see where you are and you can see where you want to be. The rest is just the in-between. And it's the in-between way to grow.
So
you
want to
get that.
Okay. Now, LaDarian, what would you like to say to the man or the woman who's listening to the broadcast today who just lost their job or they've been out there and nothing seems to be working for them? What would you like to say to that person right now sitting on the couch wherever they may be and they're trying to figure out what can I do to recreate my life?
I would suggest that they activate their creative juices. There's lots of ways that you can generate revenue in a downtime. And there's many examples of success stories along the way. I subscribe to many magazines and I look at the business aspects of what people are doing. And when you look at the lady who went into her kitchen and started preserving or putting together preserves. Well, preserving is a dying art in this culture.
Yeah.
But she was able to put together preserves. And with those preserves, she created a website that she could actually bring people to purchase her preserves.
Wow.
And so she's now gone from, you know, from 50 preserves in her kitchen to having a full-scale production company where she is selling her products on the internet, and she's created a store where you can walk in and buy these preserves directly. And you know, there's all sorts of things. A recent lady became a millionaire because she figured out how to put a plastic covering over the cleats of high school kids. You know, you got all these kids in these sports, and they walk around with these cleats. Well, these cleats, if you're not on grass, they break along the way, and you got to keep buying these cleats for these kids. Well, she just came up with a simple product, a little rubber covering that you could put over the bottom of your shoe that would keep the cleats from breaking or scratching the floor or whatever it may be, so you could keep them on and go where you were going. Well, that turned into a multi-million dollar company because she found a need and found a way to fill it. So entrepreneurship is simply using your creative juices to come up with a product or service that takes care of a need. Find a need, find a way to fill it, and you come up with a business idea and a business plan, and you can make yourself successful and stop depending on somebody else to do that for you.
Oh, Darren, is there anyone in your life or a friend or relative who's been an inspiration to you, who you consider to have been a great success, and they're like a coach to you?
Yeah, I have to say that my good friend Ernie Lindo has been a mentor and a story that I follow. I continue to talk with Ernie Lindo. He is an innovator, and you'll hear a lot more about him in the coming future because he has started a project some years back that is going to change the lives of a lot of people. And I can't go into detail about that, but just trust the name Ernie Lindo. You can look him up online. I can't give you a website to go to, but just put the name Ernest Lindo in your Google search engine. And you'll see a little bit about the vision of this man, and you're going to see the fruits of his labor here in the very near future because he has put a lot of thought and a lot of energy into taking us from where we are to a point that we can leave a legacy behind that's going to affect generations to come. So, he's at top of the list, and there's others along the way, some I can't name, but a lot of successful people that I've looked at over the years and said, that was awesome. I think that's a good model to model myself after, and I'm going to use some of their principles to better influence my business ventures.
Yes, and I noticed you have a son who's a teenager, and is there anything real quick you'd like to say to the parents who that need to inspire their kids to start looking at what they have within them right now?
Just be an encouragement to your kids. Don't squash their dreams. If they are dreamers, let them dream and let them dream big. Get behind them and support their dreams. If nothing else, show them the ins and outs or the pros and cons of their ideas so that they can move forward with their ideas and their dreams. Be excited for your kids.
Okay, thank you for that. I mean, you have really given our show a lot of valuable insight and information today, and I want to thank you, LaDarren, for coming out. We're here out on location with LaDarren Spencer, who's in and out of the airport, and we just have to catch up with him. But Darren, thank you for coming out, and also would you come back and do some future broadcasts with us? We've never had a guest to educate us so in the business facet of things like you. So would you be a blast doing that?
Absolutely, Dwight. It was a pleasure being on your show, and I look forward to coming back and visiting with you again. Absolutely.
Well, folks, we want to thank y'all for tuning in. It looks like we're just about out of time. And if you'd like to get more details, please feel free to go to my blog, which is dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, and that is at C Mr. Motivator. The letter C as in Kyle, M-R-M-O-T-I-V-A-T-O-R. Folks, I want to remind you, dare to dream, and keep thinking big, you will fulfill or discover your purpose in life. Again, this is Mr. Motivator Show. I want y'all to tune in the same time, same place next week. We're going to have another exciting broadcast. I want you to have a great weekend. Go out, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, and make this your best day. Again, thank you for tuning in. We hope to see you again next week. Mr. Motivator, we love you. Talk to you again next week. Thank you.